Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Marge Fenlon, who is a writer for Catholic publications such as Our Sunday Visitor and the National Catholic Register. She's a contributor to Catholic Lane, Catholic Exchange, Catholic Mom, and Catholic news agencies, Catholic Womanhood. She's the author of When's God Gonna Show Up? And When's God Gonna Call Me Back? She's a frequent contributor on Catholic radio around the country. With Marge Fenlon, we go inside the pages of Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home, published by Our Sunday Visitor. I love Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home. I think it's an essential for every Catholic home.
I hope so. That was the goal for the book. I tried very hard to include information that's helpful to newlyweds, actually, looking toward starting a family, and then those with the little ones, but then also parents with older kids. And by older, I mean the ones that are already even out of the house, because there's a lot of good stuff in there that we're learning as we're going along and that we've learned from other families. The family begins with man and wife. Mm-hmm. And so I've got 2-3 chapters that focus specifically on, solely on, the couple relationship, because without that, you can't build on relationships with your children. And in the way that the husband and wife relate to each other, the way mom and dad relate to each other and support each other, or lack thereof, sadly, sometimes, this is going to affect the entire family and how you raise your kids.
In each chapter of the book, and we're going to get concrete in just a moment, but you do hit just about every aspect of the experience of the family in today's culture. And in today's culture, we're inundated. I know that is a cry that people have been, I don't want it to make it cliche, but it has been an agony in the heart of the Catholic family for years now. And it's hard not to succumb to the ongoing intrusion of everything that's out there.
Well, absolutely. We're told constantly that what we do doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You know, we could get into a whole lot of political stuff, but basically what we're being told is even a marriage between a man and a woman, it's not important anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard for some homemakers who have been called out of the home to have to supplement incomes. I mean, they have to get the other job. It's difficult to say, well, I can't cook meals all the time. Sometimes I have to do the fast food. I have to do the instant thing because that's the only way that I can get it done. Otherwise, I'm so exhausted. But there is something when you are pitching in together and trying to find the ways together.
Exactly. And I'm in the book, I try to be very sensitive to not only working mothers who are married and have the dad living in the home, but also just single parents. Mm-hmm. Because I realize not everybody lives Ozzie and Harriet's life.
Right.
Not every woman can stay home. And there have been times where, you know, I've worked almost all of our married life. I'm blessed that I can do most of it out of the home. But there were streaks of time when I would need to be out of the home for a work situation. So, yeah, I couldn't do the homemaker stuff. It wasn't going to work. But to involve them, okay, you know, involve them in the decision. If it's going to be fast food, involve them in the decision. Make it a family time as much as you can. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't going to be home and the kids were going to be home from school before me, or if Mark was going to be home, my husband was going to be home before me, I would try very hard to leave something for them, a note. Even if it was a store-bought snack, just a little something that signifies, I'm aware that you are coming home, I can't be there, but in spirit, I'm there for you. I want to welcome you by leaving something for you to find.
Mm. Well, Marge, in your book, Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home, I think at the heart of all of it is that you're helping us create relationships in every aspect of that home.
Absolutely. And it's because all of the relationships in a family build on each other. So you mentioned before, you know, the relationship between mom and dad is going to affect the relationship with the children and vice versa. Mm-hmm. One of the things that very interesting that when you talk about relationships, one of the stories I relate in the book is that our daughter, Monica, came home. I'm trying to think how old she was. She probably was about 21. Mm-hmm. She definitely was out of the house already. And she came home, and we were making supper, and what we try to do is, you know, we try to have nights, some nights, where everybody tries to be around, and we can make supper together. It doesn't always work, but sometimes it does. Well, this is one of the nights where Monica could be around. And we're in the kitchen, and we're just kind of milling around. And you know, I noticed she had something on her mind. And I thought, okay, she'll come out with it when the time is right for her. Well, out of the blue, she says, you know, I just want to thank you guys for never fighting in front of us kids.
Mm, wow.
And Mark and I just stopped and thought, okay. Like, okay, where is this coming from? And she talked about a girl she worked with whose parents, even though, you know, she's an adult, have still fight in front of her and have done that routinely through her entire upbringing, and how this just rips this girl apart. And Monica was so grateful that she never had to have that experience. She had this feeling. She said, yeah, you know, I could tell when you guys weren't so happy with each other, but you never did that in front of us kids, because we could see through that, we could see how important your relationship was and how you valued our relationship with you.
Mm.
By not, you know, it's the little things sometimes. If you don't fight in front of the kids, you're showing respect for your children, you're showing respect for your spouse. It builds these relationships that will carry them through forever. You know, now our kids will, I hope, understand, don't fight with your spouse in front of your kids, should they be married and blessed with children. You're creating something not just for the family that you're raising right now, you're creating something for the future generation.
Mm. Well, Marge, in the book, I'm going to keep saying the name because I want people to race out and get it. It's Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home. I think each of the chapters I need to set up for folks has beautiful inspirations for strengthening your spirit. Then there are the questions that you can ask yourself. Strength for your family, kind of challenge us and kind of probe to see if there's some things that we could be doing better, not doing, but maybe we can implement. And then also strength for your soul. So each of those aspects are really good, I think. Well, for example, chapter 3, the acceptance application. Knowing how to take on the difficult things that come in, that, just like you said, in your relationship with your husband, Mark, or with your kids, how do you bring up the sins we commit and hurt each other?
That's I think, one that a lot of parents struggle with, and we did too. I mean, you know, I have to point out, you know, we're not the ideal parents. Our kids will be the first to remind us. We're not perfect parents. But thanks be to God, we've learned how to do a little better. And this is what, in that chapter, I'm trying to say this sensitively, but sin is sin. You can't mm-hmm. dance around it.
Right.
And when, you know, Jesus says we need to be, you know, people will say, well, I'm not my brother's keeper. That's not what Jesus taught. He taught, really, we should be helping each other towards sanctity. And this is especially true in the family.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is doing something wrong, something sinful, you can point this out without degrading that person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Mark and I have tried to do. This is what we've learned from other parents. So, you rotten, you know. I mean, obviously, you could approach that and really, really rip the person apart. But to help them, you know, you sit down and you say, okay, this is not acceptable for these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've done with our kids. This is not acceptable for these reasons. And if we can cite something from the catechism, we will. But you know what? You know, it doesn't always work with kids. Older kids a little bit, but not so much with the younger ones. But, mm-hmm. you know, God would not want this of us. This is not acceptable at all.
Mm-hmm.
This, if you say it like that, then you're not ripping that person apart. You're just showing them that their behavior isn't what's going to lead to heaven. As the kids get older, this becomes, so much more important. And this is why we need to establish these habits when they're little, to be able to sit down with them and say, why was that not right? And help them to see that on their own. Because if you just lay it on them, they're not going to accept that. But to help them see it on their own. And when they get older, you get to the point where they're going to make decisions you don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
All families go through this. All of the families that we talked about for the book, they've been through this. What we did, what Mark and I did with our kids, is we said, okay, you're an adult now. You can make your choices. You have every right to choose for yourself. But we have the right to disagree with what you're doing. We do not have to, you know, have a blanket approval for everything you do. And we have the right to voice our opinion of that. And if you still decide you're going to, whatever that is, you know, if you still decide that's what you want to do, then we'll support you as long as it is not sinful, as long as it does not go against the church. And if it does, know that we will love you unconditionally, always, but we will not be able to approve of everything you do.
As you bring out in that chapter, word choice can have a tremendous impact. Boy, isn't that the truth?
Oh, that was one of the early rules we set. Oh, my goodness, I think the kids were very small. Yes, word choice is absolutely critical because we have the pronoun rule. This is what we've instituted in our family. The pronoun rule, it means if you are having an argument with a person or you have to discuss a behavior, you may only use the pronoun I or the forms thereof.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because what this does is it helps you to present where you're coming from and how this has affected you. And it takes away this accusatory, insulting kind of language that's so easy to slip into, especially in the heat of an argument, so that you're not tearing that other person apart. And we've always done that. So if the kids get into a fight, we'd sit them down. Each one gets their turn. You say whatever you want because, of course, they think, you know, of course it's the other person's fault. Always. It's always, you know, the other guy's fault. But they sit down and we let them have their say, but they must only express it from their viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let them go on and on. Each one gets their turn, and after that, then we start to work it out. And we found this defrayed a lot of aggression that could have gotten very, very ugly. You know, kids get mad. Siblings they get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when they're young still and fairly immature, they don't always know how to deal with their anger. You have to help them. You have to teach them how to do that.
Mm. Yeah, we've had an adage in our family that, in particular when there's a larger issue looming out there, but we don't say, I'm sorry. We have to say, do you forgive me? The I'm sorry is just something you can throw out at anybody, and then you can walk away. But when you say, do you forgive me, you have to wait for a response.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and sometimes they say, no, I don't. And then you have to reconcile that. Okay, well, what's going on? I mean, or they'll be storming out the door. Wait, you have to say forgive me, you know. But so that's reconciliation at its heart, you know. But you have to be able to take the penance of hearing why there is pain because of the situation.
Well, that one will go in my next book. The good one. I hadn't heard that before, but I do like that very much because everybody, we've done it ourselves. We've seen parents do this. Say you're sorry. Well, what kind of a sorry is that, really? It's nothing. It's trying to avoid punishment, basically, is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. You can say, especially it works great with teenagers, because they'll say, well, I said I was sorry. Well, wait a minute, but you didn't hear me. This is the bigger problem. So training them up, even when they're little, but it's never too late to start. Even in older couples, as my husband and I have 30 years, we still go through all that.
Okay, but, we're only a year behind you, and I perfectly understand.
Yeah, that's perfect. Gosh, we're just diving into chapter 4 of this phenomenal book, Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home. And there's at least, how many chapters? At least 24.
Yes, there's 24.
I mean, the fourth chapter, I think, is, again, on the flip side of that, absolutely positive. Find different ways of praising. Because sometimes we get locked into you did a nice job. But,
yeah.
I mean, to really, to lift up and celebrate when things go great, or even if they just go well.
Absolutely. You know, thanks to a silly little refrigerator magnet that we got from the YMCA. But, you know, that's what really, that was very interesting. It was this, oh, my goodness, we've had it forever. It's starting to fall apart, but I still keep it because it's 100 ways to praise your child. And it's mm-hmm. all these phrases that you never think of. It's just fantastic. And I actually use a lot of them because you get, you know, you get a little rote with that. Like you said, oh, good job. Well, what does that mean? Kind of good job. But the other thing, the other side to that is it's very, we found in our family, and we hear this from a lot of other families, it's very, very important to show each individual child, and when you've got a big family, this gets to be a real challenge, what his or her specific gift is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. And we can see this especially now, as our kids are moving into adulthood,
mm-hmm.
because it's easy to either give blanket approval or to inadvertently end up with kids competing against each other. So we have, our oldest son was in the National Guard for 6 years, 2 deployments. Mm-hmm. We tried very hard, although it's difficult to do that. You know, he kind of became the family hero.
Mm-hmm.
And this would just aggravate him. Oh, he just so hated that. He never saw himself as a hero at all.
Mm.
But it happens because people respect the military.
Right.
And initially we thought, yeah, this is, oh, we have a son in the military. This is so great. And, uh-oh, well, it could be dangerous. So we get all these people to pray for him. Well, that's beautiful, except that then we had to look at our other three and realize, oops, we just made 2 very large boots for these kids to try to fit into.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to work with them very hard, especially, it was especially, I think, harder on the next boy. So our 3 boys, it's interesting, they're all 5 years apart, we have the 3 boys. And so the next one in line, of course, that was a huge, huge reputation he mm-hmm. felt he had to live up to. And so what we needed to do is work on him and what are his gifts, what are his talents. And I have to give our oldest son a huge amount of credit because he was a very important player and still is in that whole process because he then, we didn't specifically ask him, but he caught on. And he would compliment his siblings. You know, thanks be to God, mm-hmm. nowadays you have a lot of communication with the military. But mm-hmm. he would help with that process of complimenting them on what they do, not what they, you know, what he does that they also do.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents are just, oh, my goodness, we're just the most important instruments, I feel, in that regard. And now as they move into adulthood, we can see the same thing because, now we're seeing how the kids are finding their own place. So one of the kids is not especially academics. They're a little difficult for this particular, and I can't point out a particular child. I don't know if that would be right, but this particular child, academics don't come easily. But mm-hmm. what does come very easily is this person has a gift to walk into a situation, be able to grab a hold of what's going on, and make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an academic mm-hmm. gift, but that's definitely a gift.
Right.
And now that this person sees it, you can just see how absolutely on fire and ready to go into the world. And this is what we want for our children.
Mm. Strengthening your family, a Catholic approach to holiness at home. Every chapter, I keep saying this, every chapter is a standout. So it's hard. It's like making a Sophie's choice on what to talk to you in this brief amount of time, March. But chapter 17 on detached attachments. Isn't that a key? I mean, that to building up the kingdom of love is being able to detach from the things of this world and to receive them in and knowing how to cultivate that in your family, especially in the United States.
Well, and it's getting to be more and more of a challenge as we have all the gizmos and the wonderful things, and they're all wonderful, but we can run away with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to look very carefully at what God gives us and what we should or should not have. Because just because somebody figured out how to make it doesn't mean that we have to have that, or that we should. But to teach, it's stewardship, basically, is what we're talking about. Stewardship and self-discipline, to be in the world but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard, especially as the kids move through their teen years. Everybody's got their, well, you know, now they're probably on to something else, but with our kids, the big thing was the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had to have an iPod. Why do you have to have that? So it's okay to have it if you understand why you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have it. It's a very cool thing. It's beautiful. Listen, you know, as long as it's good music, that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was it? Chapter 21 is another one, Joy and Suffering. And throughout the entire book, you share, as you are right now, it's just sharing so openly your own experiences. And it, what the microcosm of your family, your domestic church, I dare say you could place it in just about any setting, in any family, because the experiences we have are universal, aren't they?
They are. And suffering, everyone suffers
mm-hmm.
in some way. Every family goes through suffering. No one is exempt. It's how we approach that suffering ourselves as a couple, as husband and wife, as mom and dad. This will show our children, help them to understand how they can and should approach suffering. And it's actually with joy, because this is our human condition. This is what our Lord is asking of us. You know, we don't always suffer, obviously, but when those times of suffering come, our attitude is going to dictate to how to make it through that or not.
Mm-hmm. Helping in teaching those lessons to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors. I mean, this is why this book is so important, Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home, because our homes become a beacon even beyond our own children. I mean, it's they'll know us by how we love and how we live out that Christ-like love.
That is so true. And I'm starting to see that our family right now is at a very exciting time, in that we're seeing now the fruits of all of those years we kept thinking we were walking in the dark. And we can see how this is working, has worked in our children who are now adult. This idea of, I'm just thinking again of the joy in suffering. Our youngest
mm-hmm.
was premature. It was very desperate. We had a hard time keeping that little tyke alive. He had medical problems for his first 5 years of life. Now, some people could look back and say, oh, what a horrible time. I don't ever want to go through that again. Well, guess what? I would. Because, first of all, I can honestly say that the entire family would feel the same way. Yeah, we would go through it again because, first of all, we know it's God's will. Second of all, because we love John so much, we would suffer with him again.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're all starting to see is how that helped us to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter is going to be, she's aiming for surgical nursing.
Mm.
She's going to be a great surgical nurse because of all that she took in when John was, and I wonder if that's part of her decision. I don't know that. That's her private, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be very, you know, give the parents listening the practical examples of how does this work. You see that then in the adult children. She's going to be fantastic. Her nerves will be of steel in that operating room, if that's what it, you know, she turns out to be, or whatever form of nursing. She definitely wants nursing because she has grown through that. She knows she can do it, and that temperament now. She's been tempered to be able to work with people in that kind of situation.
Mm. I hear exactly what you're saying. I mean, we're very blessed in our family of five, and our middle daughter is the Dr. Spock kid of the group. And that's what we've always kind of jokingly called her, because you can see growing up in the midst of that blessing and those challenges, she's been fashioned a woman who has a giving heart.
Yeah.
Loves working with those who have challenges in their lives. It has formed her to have to think out of the box, and that it's not like everybody else's family. Even though everybody else's family, that's kind of a misnomer, isn't it? There's no such thing as normal.
Right.
But it can be a source
in which God's grace really helps you to become the person he desires you to be, he created you in his heart to be.
Absolutely. And we see this, we see it in our own family, we see it in other families. Families who have suffered well together, people spot them. People are drawn to them as these beacons. And a lot of times people don't know why they like that family so much. Mm-hmm. But if you dig a little deeper, you'll find out it probably has a lot to do with how they've approached the suffering that's been sent to them. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, Katie is just, I can imagine, I've not met her, mm-hmm. But I can imagine that's awesome. I mean, because yes, exactly for that reason, because you learn to pitch in, you learn to suck up a little bit, and yet you also learn to grieve with others.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a special something about families who have been able to do that.
Mm.
And all the members, actually.
Well, Marge, have you gotten the idea that I love your book? Strengthening Your Family, a Catholic... Strengthening Your Family, a Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home. I wish we had more time. Any final thoughts?
I hope that... Yeah, just one. And it's just that I hope that parents approach this book the way it was meant to be. And I wanted very much not to be preachy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be able to sit down as if I were sitting down at the kitchen table with my readers and saying, hey, you want to learn when I learned the hard way? And I would like to learn from you also. So I hope that they can sit down and say, this is a woman who is not telling us that we're going to be rotten parents, but rather this is a book that's going to help us see what we're already doing that's great, capitalize on that, and then find new things to do that's great, that will make our family a great, great, holy family.
Mm, beautiful. Marge Fenlon, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm very happy. Thank you very much for inviting me, Chrissy.
With Marge Fenlon, we've gone inside the pages of Strengthening Your Family, A Catholic Approach to Holiness at Home. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to osv.com, the website for its publisher, Our Sunday Visitor, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. Inside the Pages is a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.